this concept when Houston Smith was in Ashland about 10 years ago, whenever you moved to Boulder, and I said, Reb Zalman sends a message to whatever you told me to tell him, a blessing of hello. And he said, how's Reb Zalman doing in Boulder? I said, what is Boulder, about 7,000 feet?
6,000.
I said, Reb Zalman loves being at 6,000 feet. He says, oh, no, Reb Zalman's much higher than 6,000 feet. But what he taught in Ashland, what he taught was that we're moving from the age of monotheism, you know, he went from the age of animism to polytheism to the age of monotheism, and he says, now we're coming to the age of monism.
Monism.
Which is like Ein Od Milvado. There's no separation between us and God. Is this part of the coming paradigm shift in the way you see it? That we see ourselves, the divinization of the planet, that we're all part of God, we're all cells in God's body?
I don't want this to be simplified right to go to monism, because that, again, something that Houston Smith had and I had an argument about. We were talking about prayer, and he was saying he's going to the infinite. And I said, I can't make it beyond the spirit of Gaia, the Melech HaOlam. Because when you go to the infinite, I don't even exist there at that place. So the thing is, look at what's called transpersonal psychology. There is behaviorism, there's analytical stuff, there's humanistic stuff, and there's transpersonal. If I'm going to be a transpersonal psychologist, that doesn't mean that I've given up on places where you need behaviorism. In other words, if it is to go cold turkey on something, I can't go and say, go to the monistic, I would have to say, this is cold turkey, this is how you do it in behavior. And there are all kinds of levels and levels. And that's why I feel that what we got from the Kabbalah and all mysticisms is that it isn't necessarily right away monism as that is so Advaitin that it doesn't leave room for the places that are dialogical, dualistic, and objective, and so on and so forth. And that's been an argument that I've been having with Art Green. He likes panentheism, and I go for pantheism. Because if you say panentheism, you want to say there's everything and there's more than everything. But I want to say everything is everything. You know, pantheism is fine. What bugs people about pantheism is he going to say, would you say that the tefillin and dog poop are the same level? And the answer is yes. On the submolecular level, they're the same. But on the level of meaning and other kinds of things, there are the places in between. So I want an organismic monism, but not a monism in which everything becomes so homogenized, as it were, that everything is in that soup of monism. I don't think that's the way it goes. The model has become an organismic model for us. That's the best model that we can have. And I think this is what our Mother the Earth wants us to think about, as being organism.
We as human beings sometimes think that we are very special. And of course, we have this idea that we all are individuals, and that this individuality is very, very important for us. Now, this may not all be true. It is possible that all living organisms are, and now that's important, horizontally genetically linked. This has to do with mitochondria, these little organelles in our cells. Now, since the mitochondria are still very much like bacteria, and this is new, have been found to exchange genetic material between themselves, it may be that there's also an exchange of genetic material between bacteria and mitochondria. And this could mean that one bacterium goes from you to me to other people, and exchanges genetic material between these persons. And this essentially would mean that all living organisms are just one single organism. And this, of course, would have tremendous implications, because many people feel left outside, they feel alone, lonesome in the universe, but maybe they are not so alone because they are part of one organism.
Oh.